Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, in his 20s, Bob Lodick was overwhelmed by debt, stranded 1,000 miles from home, had only $7 to his name. After crying out to God for wisdom, he discovered a biblically inspired formula that helped him reach a level of financial freedom he never dreamed possible. Through simple methods within this formula, Bob paid off his house by age 31. Listen to this, even reached a personal goal of giving away $1 million by age 40. That's got my attention. Talking with Bob Lodick today, title of his book is amazing, Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. And if you've been listening to this show for any number of years, you know I have a passion to see a revival of the tithe within the church because 90-something percent give nothing. So this is not a shame and guilt message, but it's an invitation to trust God. If there's a revival of trusting God, not only with our sowing, but our reaping, our stewardship, with managing what God's entrusted to us and seeing ourselves not as owners but as stewards, I can only imagine the revival that might break out. So this, you know, because this is a passionate topic for me, I'm kind of picky when it comes to these kinds of books, and this book is phenomenal. Again, the title is Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. We've got 5 copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. And you've been hearing about it, but my announcement today is related to my new book, Waking Up to the Goodness of God, 40 Days Towards Healing and Wholeness. Faith Radio is partnering with my publisher, Thomas Nelson, W Publishing, giving away 100 copies this month. You can register to win on our website at myfaithradio.com. And while you're at it, just remember I recorded 15 audio texts just to help you renew your mind to really start to believe in the goodness of God. You'll receive those on your phone by a text. They're free. I recorded 15 of them. You'll get 2 or 3 a week. All you got to do is text the word good to 877-933-2484. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. For the last 14 years, award-winning blogger, podcaster, Bob Lodick. He'll tell me what's right when he gets on here. He's been a trusted voice for Christians wanting to find financial freedom the way God intended. He has shared timeless wisdom and practical strategies with more than 50 million readers, listeners, students through his Seed Time blog, online courses, and Seed Time Money podcast. I just subscribed to that. He's appeared on media outlets including USA Today, Time, Forbes, Yahoo, Finance, Entrepreneur, and Carrie Newhoff's Leadership Podcast. He lives in Franklin, Tennessee with his wife, Linda, and their 3 children. You can find him on the web at seedtime.com. Bob, I had it, and then I lost it. Lodick or Lodick?
It's Lodick, Suzy, but
forgive
it's completely
me.
Fine.
Welcome to the show. So good to meet you.
Yeah, it's an honor. Glad to be here. Excited to chat.
You're looking forward to the conversation. Before we dig into the content of your really great book, I would love to know just what God's been talking to you about these days.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that. There was a friend of mine runs a ministry in downtown Nashville, helping the unhoused and homeless people all around Nashville. And we were having a conversation. I was just asking him, like, what do you know that I don't know? Like, what's been your experience? And what he shared something with me that has stuck with me for the last month. It's just been reeling through my brain. And I, you know, like you said, I'm a financial coach. I talk to people about money for a living. So I talk about the parable of the talents a whole lot. It's in Matthew 25. But in the second half of Matthew 25, we have the sheep and the goats. And a little bit of this passage, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, okay? And so I didn't know what came next. I remember that part of that chapter, but I didn't know what comes next. But what comes next is, he said, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And I was a stranger and you invited me in. And something about seeing those two connected just really struck something inside of me. You know, because like we'll talk about, I'm sure in this interview, it's giving and generosity. But this like hit home for me because now I see the sheep and the goats. And the next thing that comes out, like what that's referring to is this right here. How did we treat those people that God created? And what have we done with that? And so anyway, this is something I've just been pondering a lot, thinking a lot about that and how this should affect my day-to-day life, you know?
Wow, thank you so much. Well, if you don't mind, I'd love a little backstory on your financial journey, kind of how and when you hit rock bottom and how God met you there.
Yeah. So my whole story began, you know, as I often tell it, when I was 20 years old, it was literally like just a couple days before my 21st birthday, and I'm living down in Sarasota, Florida. Beautiful town right by the beach. I had just gotten paid. It's a Friday. The sun's shining. It's like 75 degrees. It's just perfect. Everything's perfect. It's like an Instagrammer's dream before Instagram exists, you know? And I'm there. And as I'm having the perfect day, I'm driving on this road and all of a sudden my car stops running, like right in the middle of the road. And it happened so fast, I didn't even have time to pull over to the side. And it was a busy road at that point. Cars are going up and down nonstop. So everybody's staring, gawking at me as I'm like sitting in the middle of the road. I'm 20 years old at this point, and so I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. I keep turning the key, and nothing's working and happening. And so this is a bad day for anyone, right? Your car breaks down, and it's kind of embarrassing and whatever, all the stuff. But as I'm sitting there, I'm realizing, all right, this bad day is about to get a whole lot worse because the whole reason I was driving was that I had just picked up my paycheck because it was payday, and now I had to go pay my rent that was due in 3 hours. And if I didn't get that paycheck to the bank to get the money out, to go pay the landlord in the next 3 hours, they were going to tack on a $50 late fee. And so this $50 was so significant because I didn't have the extra $50. My paycheck was literally just enough to cover my rent. And I'm not even thinking about like a week later, how am I going to buy groceries? I'm literally just trying to get the rent paid that day. And then this extra $50, I don't have it. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so as I'm thinking about this and trying to figure out how am I going to get this car towed, fixed, and then get to the bank and then get back there and do all of this in the next 3 hours. And I have $7 in my bank account total. I have a credit card that is nearly maxed out. It's like $250 away from being maxed out. And I, in that moment, just realized like I'm a mess financially. And I didn't even realize it. I had built like this house of cards with my financial life. And then I had this tiny little gust of wind, like called an alternator in my car that went out. And it just threw everything, my whole financial life, into a spiral. And so I remember in that moment, just like trying to figure out, like, how do I get out of this? What do I do? You know, because I didn't have anyone to call. I didn't know anyone. You know, Uber's not around or any of that stuff. And I remember grabbing that steering wheel and with hot tears coming down my eyes, just asking God for help and asking for wisdom. And finally, for the first time in my life, humbly admitting that I didn't know everything about money that I thought I did and that I needed his wisdom. And that if he had another path out of this mess, that I'm all ears, I'm ready to yield and listen.
Were you a believer at that time?
Yes, I had been. Wow. I had been just seriously following God just for a couple of years at that point.
Wow. Yeah, which again, I appreciate that story because, you know, there's lots and lots and lots of Christians who would say finances is the first thing they think of when they wake up and the last thing they think of when they go to bed because they're not free. Yeah. There is hardship there. And here you are in this moment crying out to God. How did he speak to you?
Yeah. It was one of those things where I felt like over the next couple of years, he slowly just began revealing things from his word that I had never seen before, you know? And again, I was a fairly new believer at that point and just learning to read the Bible. And I remember the first time I saw, whoa, the Bible actually talks about money. And some of this is actually still relevant in the 21st century, you know? And which was so mind-blowing to me that this book, thousands of years old, had wisdom that was still pertinent and relevant for us today. And so as I just began, you know, for me, the big thing was like I had worked at a bank, you know, and all my friends thought, oh, you're the one that knows all this stuff about money. And the truth is I thought I did. I was prideful, but I actually didn't. And because I had the world system and understanding about money in my mind, but I didn't understand the biblical system and how to do these things. And so that's such a key differentiator. And so he just began kind of unraveling that and then shining more light on the truth of his word and what this looks like. I began reading as many books as I could, getting my hands on. And then over the years that progressed, you know, things just radically changed.
Wow. You said, you referenced a John Wesley quote in the book, "I gain all I can without hurting either my soul or body. I save all I can, not willing to waste anything, not a sheet of paper, not a cup of water. Yet by giving all I can, I'm effectually secured from laying up treasures on earth. Yea, I am secured from either desiring or endeavoring it, as long as I give all I can." So out of that and other things that you studied from Scripture, you came up with a strategy, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, enjoy it all. I want to unpack this, you know, in increasing measures throughout the show, but I want you to just give kind of a 30,000-foot view of earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, enjoy it all.
Yeah. Yeah. So the whole thing was kind of inspired by this John Wesley quote. And fun little backstory here. I was actually on a month-long sabbatical in which, when I take a month-long sabbatical, I don't write. I don't do any work. No email. I just completely cut out. And this one day, I felt like the Lord said, "I want you to start writing." I'm like, "Well, God, I'm actually on a sabbatical break. So
I'll get back to you about that."
You know, like, I can't really do that right now. And I felt like he said, "No, I want you to write." And it was, I mean, honestly, I think this is the only time in my life this happened, but I felt like he downloaded a lot of what would become this book. And most of it was stemmed off of this framework that John Wesley laid out, where he said these things you mentioned. And what I find so fascinating about this framework, this earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can, and enjoy it all, is that if I look at John Wesley, he's a writer and he's a preacher. And he sought to earn as much money as he could. And like most of us would think of that and be like, "Eh, it feels weird that preacher is trying to earn as much money as he can." And the truth is that in England at that time, he was one of the highest earning people in all of England. Hmm. He was earning what was equivalent today of over $2 million a year. Hmm. And so what I find so fascinating and beautiful about it is that he understood that he had a God-given gift on his life and he could use that to impact people's lives by writing and speaking, and then be rewarded with compensation for that, which he could then turn around again and use that again to advance the kingdom if he didn't squander it and waste it, you know? And there's something just so beautiful about that and the multiplication there and the and how far and wide it can go, that just really inspired me a lot. And that's just been a framework that we began to live by. And as we started to see the fruit of it in our lives, like that's kind of where we're like, all right, we need to share this more. And we began sharing it on our website and our podcasts and things. And it's just clicking. And I'm seeing this affect other people's lives and other readers and listeners. And I was like, all right, it's time to turn this into a book, you know?
Wow, fantastic. I love that story. So in those early years when you realized you cried out for help, you needed to do something different. I appreciate it in the book. You said, "Yeah, I worked in a bank, but I was getting my money information from many of the wrong sources." And when you went to Scripture and you got wisdom from God, that's when you actually got free. Where before you were in just held captive by finances, you and Linda would say, now you thrive financially. I mean, not just basking in sums of money, but truly you're a flow through account of God's blessing. And I'm going to get to this in a minute where you hit your goal at age 40. But talk about some of the first steps you took to get out of the mess that you were in. What were some of the first practical, tangible steps you took?
Yeah. I mean, one of the first ones that we did that I always recommend for people is to like legitimately and actually be paying attention to what's going on with your money. And most people, you know, listening might be like, "Well, that seems obvious." But the truth is that it's actually really hard to do right now, because our parents' generation, everything was a lot easier. You know, if we go back 34 years ago, you know, you have a checkbook and you have a banking account and you have cash and like, that's pretty much it. You know, maybe you have a credit card. They're kind of getting early at that point, but it's much simpler. And whereas now, you know, we have Venmo and we have, you know, all Cash App and we have PayPal and we have multiple credit cards and we have different bank accounts. And it just is so much more complicated. And, you know, and especially with all the subscriptions. And so money's coming in and out automatically, all those different places. And most people just don't know what's going on with their money. And when you don't know, like, you just aren't going to do well, you know? And so it's just so important that we actually can see the big picture of how all these pieces are working together. One particular app that I enjoy using that I've used for years is called the Empower Personal Dashboard, which has been really helpful for me. It's a free app that just helped us kind of get a big picture view of what's going on, where everything's moving, you know?
Wow, that's so good. Empower Personal Dashboard. I'm taking notes. All right, when we come back, I want to just ask you about when you first started to give and start to live generously as you're digging your way out of this financial debt, how God really started to lead you into sowing into other ministries, into giving generously, and how you saw him become your provider. And then when that goal of $1 million just became entered your mind before you even achieved it. How did that come to you? How did God speak that to you? And so many questions. Talking to Bob Loddick today, his book, Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. I feel like it's such a biblically balanced book. Comes endorsed by a lot of our friends like Mark Batterson, Carlos Whitaker, Carrie Newhoff, others who've been on the show before. We would love to get a copy in your hand. You just text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Jesus loves little children, all the children of the world. And right now, there are children in desperate need of Jesus, in desperate need of food and medical care. This is your time to become their champion, to change their life. When you sponsor just one child, you plant seeds of hope in their heart, and you work together with people on the ground to change the families, communities, and the future for these children. You might not be able to change the world, but for one child, you can change theirs. Would you prayerfully consider sponsoring a child today? You can meet the kids and find your child at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We're talking about finances today, and I want you to not groan. I want you to take a deep breath in. I want you to exhale, and I want you to receive what God has for you, because there's an invitation here for all of us to really get a sense of what God wants us to do with how we steward what he's entrusted to us, and that we don't have to live enslaved to our debt or in fear and in bondage to financial issues. There's a way to get out of those things and to steward in such a way that you actually flourish, where generosity becomes a marker of your life and a passion of your heart. You know, God loved us so much. He gave his son. Generosity is in his DNA. But this show today isn't just about generosity. It literally is about stewarding all God has entrusted to you with a biblical perspective. Bob Loddick is my guest today. His book, Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And when Bob was in his young 20s, he drove a Corvette. He looked like he was living the dream, but he was living on debt, and the house of cards came tumbling down. He sought the Lord, and God gave him wisdom, and now he and his wife have ministered to tens of millions of people through podcasts, books, blog posts, really teaching people how to steward their finances. So as you were digging your way out of the debt and really applying biblical principles, your wife Linda said in the book, in due time, you guys just start to see one miracle after another. Like, as you start to apply biblical principles to your finances, you just started to see one miracle after another. Can you think of any examples of those kinds of things for our listeners today?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you my favorite one. So this begins with after we had paid off all of our credit cards, we had paid off our car loans. We had even paid off my student loan, and we'd gotten really all of that debt gone. The only thing we had left was our mortgage. And so we were enjoying it so much. Anyone who's paid off a car, you know how good this feels. And it was just fantastic. And we were thankful to God. And now, because we paid all that off, we had a lot of extra disposable income each month, probably a couple $1,000s that we were putting towards the mortgage. And I'm in a race to pay off that mortgage as fast as we can. And so this one particular day, I went out to this field that I used to go and pray. And I was walking this field, just walking back and forth, just praying. And the reason for my prayer that day, honestly, was that I was asking God to help us to get that mortgage paid off even faster. And I had my spreadsheet all done, and it was going to take us 3.5 years at our current pace to get it paid off, which, you know, is amazing. Like, everybody listening is like, 3 years, that's great. I'd love to have my mortgage paid off then. And I, you know, no doubt. But I, you know, very much in my American gotta have it now mentality, I went to God asking, well, can we do this faster, Lord? And that was my prayer. God, can you help me get this house paid off even faster? And as I was praying that, I felt him speak to my heart, not an audible voice, but man, it was one of the clearest things he's ever spoke to me. And I felt like he said, if you really want to see me move on your finances, I want you to begin giving your age as a percentage of your income. And I stopped in my tracks. I looked up to the sky and like started scratching my head. And I'm like, what is that? Like, where does that come from? I've never heard that, you know? And so I'm like trying to figure out what, this is just crazy. Who does this? Like,
well, you know, it's God when it brings on a little nausea. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, wow. If it's not crazy enough, it's probably not God type of thing.
That's right.
And so I start kind of thinking through, and then I start doing math in my head, which was a bad idea because I'm like, wait a minute. We're not going to have any money. We're going to give all of our extra money away if we do this. And I don't even know if we can buy groceries. And, you know, I'm like going through all this stuff. And then I start getting a little bit annoyed where I'm kind of like, God, I've been given my 10% and tithing, and I just came to you asking for something, and now you ask me to give all my money away, you know. So I'm like wrestling with all these emotions, and then I go back and talk to Linda, and I take it back to Linda. I'm like, all right, she's going to talk some sense into me, and my wonderful wife just gets right on board. She's like, well, you know what? If God's asking us to do that, I'll bet he has something really exciting on the other side of it. And I'm like, okay. Like, all right, honey, here we go. And so that month we began giving 31% of our income. I was 31 at the time. So we jumped from giving about 11% of our income to 31% of our income. And I pulled out my spreadsheet, start looking at the numbers, and I'm like, all right, well, this is now it's going to take us like 10 years to pay off our mortgage. But like, as we prayed about this, I just felt like, all right, this is us laying our goal of a paid off mortgage on the altar. And if this is what God's asking, it's like, I will lay it down to obey whatever the thing is that he's asking us to do. And so we did that, and we yielded, and we laid down, you know, the thing that we desired, that I craved so much. And what's so amazing, Susie, like, I still to this day, I'm blown away by this, but 10 months later, not 10 years, but 10 months later, our mortgage was paid in full.
Wow.
And it's like, and I stand back in awe of what God did, because I look back at how that happened. And there's just no way it could have ever happened in the natural. It just didn't make any sense. Anyone who knows me knows that, yeah, Bob's not smart enough to pull that off. Like, it's just one of those things that God is the only one who can get glory for. And I think that's what's so exciting about it is, as we share this story and these other stories like this that he's done in our lives, it's like, there is no way anyone who knows us at all, like, knows that you guys aren't smart enough to pull that off. That has to be God. And I think that's the way it should be, you know?
Wow. You know, I've said this so much because our financial past in our early years was very broken as well because of medical debt. And realized we became kind of fear-based managers because it was so traumatizing. And then I looked ahead at this other couple who was 5-6 years ahead of us who also had crisis in the early years in their marriage. They were no longer in crisis, but they were still crisis managing their finances. And I saw that and I thought, that cannot be our story. And we also got on our knees and the Lord just said, I want the tithe and the offering. And we just watch the enemy's plans for our finances fall apart. We're not where you're at. I'm completely inspired and challenged. But I will say that there's something, and I want to be so careful. And people who listen, they know that I'm not a prosperity gospel person at all. However, there is an abundance in the Lord that you can get no other way. And when you step into just sowing generously as he leads, he has a bigger shovel. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I literally can tell you our laundry soap lasted longer. Our groceries lasted longer. We stepped into a supernatural provision. And then just sometimes you'd get a check in the mail out of nowhere. I mean, I'm sure you experienced some of those same things where you realized, I'm out of the buying and selling mentality. I'm into the sowing and reaping. Like, I'm experiencing something of God I could have not any other way. What say you? Where? Oh, you kidding me. Oh my goodness, we just lost him. All right, we're going to get him back here. So tell me, text me, friends, and tell me how this is impacting you, because I always want to be challenged. I've been, you know, as we're doing, Kevin and I are doing our third month in a row now of a 21-day partial fast. And we did one in November, we did one in December, now here we are in January doing it again. And but this month, you know, Kevin and I are just doing our own separate thing. But one of the things, I mean, I'm fasting some food things, but also fasting unnecessary spending of any kind. Like, if I don't absolutely need it, I'm not getting it. And that might sound just ridiculous, but I'm just being mindful. And as I'm being mindful, he's speaking to me so much about how much a little here and a little there could do for a hungry child, for a hungry village. And he's grabbing a hold of my heart in a fresh new way. And so this feels really, really important and really timely. I'm going to read Amy's text. You're curious if your guest still tithes 30%. No, I think that they're on track. I think they're continuing to tithe with each year, because in the book it said that they increase their tithing 1% every year. So, and he got to the point where he was able to give away $1 million. And I mean, the total gifts that he'd given exceeded, or at least met that $1 million gift by age 40. That is unbelievable. So, I don't know what to do here. Carrie just writes and she says, Susie, this is exactly the message I needed today. Thank you, Lord. Carrie, same for me. I mean, truly, and this is what's so amazing to me about fasting. You know, when we're bored, when we're tired, when we're stressed, we mismanage our time. We just do. I did a whole Facebook Live on this today, that when you're tired, bored, or stressed, we binge watch, we binge scroll, we binge spend. We squander more time than we can imagine because we're so tired, we're not really paying attention. And what I was saying on this Facebook Live, I was calling it a recipe for vitality. The recipe for vitality is deep, deep rest and purposeful faith. So if you find yourself squandering time, squandering finances, I think you need to follow the invitation to the Lord to get away and get some rest. Maybe a partial sabbatical. I'm kind of doing that myself. I'm doing a partial sabbatical so I can create some space for God. And as I'm doing that, He's so speaking to me. And I'm seeing some texts come in. It sounds like we've got him back. Bob, you there?
I am here.
Yay!
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I think my internet shut us down.
Well, give me that phone number. I'm going to call them, or maybe send a strongly worded letter. I'm just kidding.
I would love it if you would do that for me.
Yeah. So we've got different people are saying this is exactly what I needed to hear today. So before we lost you wanted to pay your mortgage off in a few years because you were just starting to see the importance of watching your finances. And you went out to the field to pray, and the Lord wanted you to give at the level of your age. So give away 30% because you're 30 years old. Somebody asked if you've continued to increase that a percent every year. Have you?
Yes, we have, by His grace, managed to continue that for the last 11 years. I'm 42 now, and He has sustained us through it. And I'll just add a piece here that I think is really interesting. This has been, for us, such a beautiful amount of tension and friction, because what I noticed at that point when I was 31, when he began asking that, I was getting a little bit sloppy in my spending. Like our business was doing kind of good. There was a little bit of extra margin, and I was finding myself never having to tell myself no. And I just wasn't stewarding really well because there was a lot of extra. And what's been so beautiful about this is it's been a nice level of tension to where we have to trust God as our provider. We still have to trust Him, which I think is a great place to be.
Yes.
I think whenever we're getting to this plate where we're trying to insulate ourselves from needing God or filling up a barn, you know, so that we don't need God, I think that's just a dangerous place to be. Meanwhile, we've been able to increase our giving. And so it's just been a beautiful thing that He's led us to, you know?
Wow. And you hit, when did the revelation of a goal of $1 million, like when and how did that hit you that you someday wanted to give away $1 million?
Honestly, this is before Linda and I got married. Like I remember being, I mean, broke as broke can be, both of us sitting in our cars after church, just dreaming about the future. And we both had this desire in our heart to give away millions of dollars. And we were very unlikely candidates, you know? And I remember like that moment where we both realized, wait a minute, we both have this. And it was just kind of like a really special moment where it's like, wow, there might be something here where God's trying to do this for us together. And so that's when it was birthed, you know, but it was, you know, years before we really started to see like we were making any progress in that direction, you know?
Well, and even, you know, you tracking what you're able to give so you really know what you're giving so that you know when you cross over that finish line, not a finish line, but a goal. I mean, that's really quite amazing. Wow.
Yeah, that has been a really, really helpful thing. And that's the thing, like, I mean, a lot of people listening, you might be surprised at how much you've been given. And so if you have been a faithful tither, like you start adding that up over the past few years, you might be blown away at how much you've been able to funnel into the kingdom. And that is really motivating. And so for me, I remember having the revelation that God kind of gave me of just this idea that the world is measuring financial success by how much you accumulate. You know what I mean? It's like, how much do you have saved? How much is your 401k? How much blah, 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 all this stuff, like your net worth. Like that's how you measure financial success in the world. But as Christians, I believe that we should be measuring financial success by what we give. And if that's the case, then the best thing we can do is stop focusing so much on how big is my net worth? How can I make it as big as possible? And focus a little bit more on how can I give as much as possible? And so for us, that led us to just start tracking. And so we have a running spreadsheet, which we call our net given, as a little playoff of net worth, where we just track how much we've given. So every year we add up everything we've given on this sheet. And it's just really fun to have a number that is pointing us in the direction towards what's most important to us that we can high five over. I'd rather high five Linda over, hey, we gave $1 million rather than we just accumulated $1 million. And nothing wrong with saving money. Like I'm all for that. And we're big fans of that as well. But I'm just saying, if I have to pick one, I'm a little bit more excited about reaching that goal, you know?
Okay. So on the other side of the break, I want you to tell us the secrets of the six-figure givers. Sure. I know one six-figure giver and they're very private about it, but I would love to know the secrets. You write this in your book. I'm talking to Bob Lodick today. A bunch of texts came in. I'll see if I can read some of them on the other side of the break. His book is Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. My prayer, Bob, I want to get you back for sure because there's so much here, but I think it would be amazing to do have you once a month, Lord willing, where we really tackle different aspects of stewardship because you have so much to say. Like for one thing, friends, if we get time for it, we'll try to tackle it later, but not measuring your financial health, even just by your debt, but how you manage the sum of your assets. And I'll have Bob explain that a little bit later. But we use the wrong metrics so often, and they cause either pride, a false sense of security, or despair. But there's a better way to look at the whole picture so that you know what you're dealing with and know what God wants of you. More with Bob Lodick in a minute. You're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We're having a fantastic conversation about finances. It's a happy conversation. It's an invitation to believe God for miracles in your finances kind of conversation. Bob Lodick is my guest today. His book, Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. Adam writes in, he says, a few years ago, I love this. He says, my wife says, wouldn't it be cool if instead of giving 10% to God each year, we gave 30%? My answer, no. He laughed because I was trying to save money for our first house. But we started that year to give more, and we gave 30% since then, and we've kept it up at that level. The coolest part is I don't see that money is missing because the Father in heaven provides. And what Bob, you were saying, for those who just tuned in, you may have missed it. Bob was a young 30-something guy. As he was getting his finances turned around, just desperately wanted to get his house paid off. And they were on track for it to pay it off in 3 years. He went out into the field to pray, to ask the Lord for expedited help. And the Lord said, I want you to tithe and the same number, the same percentage of the age that you are. So he wanted him to move from an 11% tithe to a 30% tithe. And he thought, well, that moves my plan of paying my house off to a 10-year plan. But he put it on the altar because he'd heard from the Lord. And he paid that mortgage off in 10 months instead of 10 years. So this dear listener says, how much, and if you don't mind sharing, you can decide not to if you'd like, Bob, but how much and how did he pay off his mortgage in 10 months if he was giving away 31%? What say you?
Yeah. So this is a question that comes up all the time. And what's so interesting about it is I don't know exactly how it all worked, but I'll tell you what I do know. I know that we started seeing money come in from all kinds of different and unexpected places, different sources. Like, oh, we just happened to get a really big tax refund that year. We just happened to get this check from this. We just happened to whatever, have this thing come in because this person passed away. And our business started thriving in a way it hadn't before. And, I think there's a way as to look at all this as coincidence, but like, I just don't, it's hard for me to see it that way, seeing what I saw and seeing the timing of all of it. And it's like, it just coincidentally started as soon as we started giving 31% of our income. It's a fascinating thing just watching what God did during that season. Mm-hmm.
appreciate what you said about the being sloppy in your spending, because that's you know, when we lost you for a minute there, I was talking about that. That's one of the very things God was addressing with me, and in this idea of a recipe for vitality, I talk about when you're tired, you squander more time than you realize, you spend more money than you realize, because you're not watching things. But when you pull it in and you get the deep rest you need, you get a fresh vision from God, and then you add robust faith to that. Suddenly, you're activated and you're minding the checks. You know, you're watching what's going on in your life. So before we get to more about that, the AUM was very interesting to me. I want you to tell us about some of the secrets of those who give at a six-figure level. They're not a six-figure income. Yeah. They literally give at six figures. What are their secrets?
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's talk about the AUM thing. I think that is a great place to start. So, long story short, we're talking about net worth. And so most financial experts will tell you to measure your net worth and to calculate your net worth. And it's actually a really good idea because it's a way to measure your progress. It's one number that tells you if you're moving forwards or backwards in your financial life. And so it is a good thing to measure. But the problem that I have with it is that it's called net worth. And when I look at, you know, what Jesus said we are worth, like it feels very contradictory to have a number and say, this is my net worth, you know, whether it's $10 million and you feel really elitist and special, or whether it's negative $3 million and you feel like I can't go any lower. You know what I mean? Like we should not be defining our worth by any number. And instead, the way that I think is more biblically appropriate is to call that number our assets under management. Because after all, it's all God's. We are simply managers of what he's entrusted to us. And so that's the term that we prefer, because again, that puts us back in the position of, all right, the Lord has entrusted us to manage all this money that's in our bank account, these cars, these assets, whatever all these things are. And how can I do as good a job as possible and to manage it well and to multiply it and to make it grow? And again, it's like, I want to be, back to the parable of the talents, this idea, I want to be a steward or a manager who just is faithful and will take what he's entrusted me so that I know, or so that he knows he can trust me with more, you know?
Mm. Amen. So talk to us then about the secrets of six-figure givers.
Yeah. Well, okay. So do you want to go to like down? We can take this a couple different ways. Do you want to talk a little bit about some things that we've done that have made it a lot easier? Is that what you'd like to go with?
Yep.
So one of the things that I think helped Linda and I a lot was we created what we call the seed account. And so every month when we get our paycheck, we designate a certain percentage, you know, and really it's the 31 or now 42% goes over to this account. And once it goes in there, it's no longer ours. Okay. And so what's beautiful about that, and technically it is, it's in our bank account, but it's a separate account that once the money's in there, we've made a decision that that is now given. It's no longer ours. And what's so fun about that is it puts us in a position that whenever God drops an idea on our heart or a need or anything, we have the money sitting there waiting, ready to be spent. And prior to that, and this is what most people do, you have all your money in one big checking account. And it's like, well, I got to pay groceries, you know, next week and the school tuition's due and I got this and this and this. So we can't really give very much now. Whereas once it's segmented off in its own separate thing, you just don't think like that. It completely rewires the way that you think about that money. And therefore, it makes giving so much easier and so much more fun because it feels like you're giving someone else's money.
That's so good. Yeah, you have a chapter titled Secrets of Six-Figure Givers, and you quote our good friend Mark Batterson, and he writes this: I found that when God calls us to do things, it's going to be bigger than you are. It's going to be beyond your resources, beyond your ability. Often it'll be beyond your education. But God just seems to love to use people that are unqualified. And so maybe a way of saying it is he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And you go on to say, when your reality appears to be thousands of miles away from your dream, it isn't easy to even write it down, but I want you to do it anyway. Write it down, pray about it, take action on it as the Lord leads you. If it's truly a God dream, you won't be able to do it on your own strength, but keep the dream in the forefront of your mind. Pray and follow God. Years later, when you look back, you'll be surprised to see how far he's brought you. And you said, we need to get comfortable with impossible goals. Say another word about that.
Yeah. This is... I feel like I grew up with a pretty small mindset around money and around what God was capable of. I had them in a very small box. And I'm so thankful that he's helped me over the years expand that as I've
gotten to see what he is capable of, in which, you know, we're obviously just scratching the surface. He's so powerful and can do anything. But as we've seen glimpses of what he's capable of, like, it's just really reframed how I think about what God is capable of. And so when I make a small-minded goal, it's really insulting to him. Like, that's what it comes down to. It. And so I want to be creating goals and allowing myself to dream with God for things that are just so much bigger than I can ever do in my own strength. Because, like, I think Mark Batterson might've mentioned in that chapter, I quoted him a good bit in there, I think, just this idea that, like, if, and like I said before, if we are setting a goal that we can figure out how to do in our own strength, it's probably not God. Like, we need to be dreaming so much bigger than we are. And when we do that, it gets exciting. And again, it gets our minds off of us and it points all the glory back to God, in which that's when it's fun. That's when it's exciting. And that's when everyone comes running like, wow, look at what God did.
So good. We're going to pause here. So save all you can, earn all you can, give all you can. On the last segment, we'll talk about enjoyment, because oftentimes these money conversations go to guilt, shame, condemnation, give it all away, or, you know, and you're not saying that. There's this really healthy, I feel like, robust picture of what healthy finances might look like, where you're not ashamed to steward your talents in the best way possible. One thing I loved in the book, Bob, as you were saying, is you start to be mindful of stewarding your whole life. God allowed you to step into a job that you were good at. It was fulfilling and it paid you well. But I feel like so often we maybe settle for far less than what God would have because we're not engaging our faith and we're just pacifying the time. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about just that enjoyment piece, that he gives us all good things to enjoy. Talking to Bob Lodick, his book, Simple Money, Rich Life. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. Do you still believe God is good? Do you believe he cares about the condition of your soul? Do you believe he still answers prayer? Well, I've released a brand new book titled Waking Up to the Goodness of God, and my whole heart is to point you towards healing and wholeness, to believing again that God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he promises he'll do. Will you join me on this journey? We are going to have an adventure of a lifetime to be used by God and to trust him more. Just text the word good to 877-933-2484. You'll receive encouraging texts, prayers, and devotions from me. I'm so happy to do this journey with you. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to Bob Lodick. He's a podcaster, he's an author, he's a blogger. Millions and millions of people have been impacted by his message and his, along with his wife Linda. His new book, though, is titled Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. It's such a healthy, practical, helpful book. I really love it. I've got 5 copies to give away. You can text the word book if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And he built kind of a 4-part plan out of a John Wesley quote, save all you can, earn all you can, give all you can, and enjoy it all. And this dear listener wrote in and said, people so often equate their net worth with their self-worth, and they're not the same thing. And I just want to say a hearty amen to that. But talk about the enjoy it all. That was a refreshing added note for us. And I think people need to hear that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the truth is, like everyone listening knows, there are people who hate their jobs. They hate earning money. Mm-hmm. There are people who hate the idea of saving or cutting back or limiting their expenses. Definitely people who hate giving. And I believe that when we do all this stuff right, we can actually enjoy all facets of our financial lives, from earning more, you know, earning with purpose, earning with intention, to living a life. I'm not a hyper frugality, penny pinching type. You know, we live a very nice life, but I always want to be wise about stewarding it and making, just being as efficient as possible, just so that money isn't getting wasted unnecessarily. And then the giving component, like we have discovered, like I grew up very stingy, had no desire to give. I thought I was wasting money. And God has moved on my heart and allowed me to actually find so much joy in it that it's one of my favorite things to do right now. So anyway, that's the beautiful thing, is that there is a way to do this right. And I feel like when we do this in God's way and his approach, it actually can all be enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
Well, all of it, because earning, when you're actively engaged in a calling that's God-given, whether it's in the marketplace or ministry, it's like you feel mm-hmm. like I'm made for this. Even when you're tired, you feel like I'm doing a good work. So that's so important. Saving requires some self-restraint. And I think of Paul, I buffet my body and make it my slave. I feel like the self-restraint, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And I don't think we say no to our flesh and our impulses nearly often enough. So saving requires that, giving even more so, and there's such joy in it, right? And then not being so legalistic that you can't enjoy a really great meal or, a night out on the deck and watching the sunset. I mean, to me, it adds this robustness to all of life.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, and one of the other pieces I think is important too is to be able to enjoy the journey, because a lot of us mm-hmm. start our financial journey because we're a mess financially. We have a ton of debt and whatever. And it's like, all right, we got to make some changes. And that's where a lot of people start. And they look at the mountain and they're like, all right, this is going to take too long. I don't even feel like trying. I give up, like, before they even start. And so I think it's important to enjoy the journey. And there's different ways to skin a cat. And so a lot of financial experts are the, all or nothing approach to your life is going to be miserable for 5 years or 10 years until you get it done. But I think there is a more balanced approach where we can do this, make progress, and then most importantly, invite God into the equation, because I think he wants to see us be debt-free. I believe that Jesus came to set us free in so many areas. And I think, why not? I don't think God wants us to be slaves to debt when Jesus came to set us free in all these other areas. And so if we have God's interest in this thing that we're going after as well, like, why not invite him into this equation and see what he would have us do? See what he would think about our career choices, see what he would think about our spending choices, and allow him to direct it so that we can move forward a lot faster.
So good. This year, listener said, love this show. Any suggestions for when our spouse doesn't agree on giving, on the giving percent?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had Linda on here. Maybe if we do this again, I'll bring Linda. But she's really good and really valuable with this part of the conversation. But I will say this, like, I have found that it is really helpful to go and talk to your spouse with as much humility as you can muster, and to try to get a honest conversation going back and forth about, what is the reason? What is your desire? Why do you want to give X percent? And then why does your spouse not want to give that? Or what amount do they feel comfortable with? And at the end of the day, I do feel like, two are one flesh, and this is a partnership. And so I think you should work to find unity, even if that means dialing back your giving for the sake of them. But one other piece that I'll add here that I think is really helpful as well, that we always recommend for students, is to have some amount of spending money every month. Each spouse should have some amount of spending money that is judgment-free money that you can spend however you want. And so in my case, so we basically have two separate joint accounts. We both have access to it. We can both see it. We're not hiding money from each other. But each month we deposit money in there that I can spend on whatever I want. I can go to Lowe's and buy my third saw, and Linda can go to Nordstrom and buy her, 20th pair of shoes or whatever. And I'm not going to judge her for that. Or she can go to Starbucks and buy 100. But the point is that it's not coming out of our grocery money. It's not like I'm going to be upset at her because she spent that on that and now we can't buy whatever. And that is so liberating. And when you do that, not only did that reduce our marriage fights by probably 95% just by doing that one thing, but outside of that, you can do something like that and then choose to give that money out of your non-judgment spending account, if that makes sense. And so mm-hmm. that's one other way that you could approach it.
Wow, I love that. Just got about a minute left. How do you discern what to give to beyond your tithe? How do you discern the ministries? I suppose God just connects you and connects your heart, or is there a more proactive way that you go after that?
I remember hearing a giving framework from Pastor Andy Stanley that we've liked a lot. And he said to give from a broken heart and give from a grateful heart. So the broken heart piece is, what are those things in the world that break your heart? And how can you use your money to help solve and alleviate those problems? And then the grateful heart component is, what are the organizations that are that you're grateful for, you're so thankful for? And our local church is one of those. So I want to use my money to support those things that I'm grateful for. And so that framework has been really helpful for us to kind of prioritize.
That's so good. One last question. Someone asked, do you tithe, bring the whole tithe into church, or can you use some of that for other missions? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, Christian financial experts have differing opinions on that. For us, we give, I think, probably 15 to 17% to our local church. And then outside of that, it's a whole bunch of other ministries we want to support, as well as a specific fund in our bank account for spontaneous gifts and needs that come up.
Awesome. And what was that app again you said? Empower?
Empower Personal Dashboard. And on our website, we actually have a free tutorial. It's called seedtime.com/cashflow, because it is a little bit complicated to use. So anybody wants to go through that tutorial, it's free, and it'll show you exactly how we use it.
All right. So do come back with Linda. Angie will reach out, but I'd love to have you come back with your wife and we'll pick up where we left off, okay?
Yeah, we'd love to.
So fantastic. Thanks for tuning in today, friends. I pray you found some encouragement here. Really want to help equip us all to get financially free, to be mobilized into the best purposes God has for us. Be encouraged. God wants this for you more than you want it for you, and He will show you the way through. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.